Amen. Amen. What I'm going to speak about is releasing the Word of God. Now, this is a thing that it really consumes me. It burns in my heart with a zeal and with a fire. He's not only just the Word of God, but speaking the Word of God, declaring God's Word, proclaiming God's Word. I believe it is a powerful thing. And so I'm going to get to that place, but I'm going to start off where I just want to mention what Niels mentioned the two previous weeks. We spoke about the kingdom, and it was amazing. It was an amazing sermon just to once again realize, and as the Lord brought revelation to us, how the kingdom works, how it functions, because many times we struggle because we are not living in a kingdom. We struggle to think like kingdom, but God, He teaches us through His Word how the kingdom or His kingdom works, and it's an eternal kingdom. And so Niels did an amazing job there, and you will remember that we spoke about the ecclesia, the church of God, and that is the vehicle. Is die voertuig om die koninkryk vorentoe te vat. Is die plan wat God gehad het om sy kingdom te expand op hierdie aarde. En ons het lekker tyd daaroor spandeer. En soos wat ons praat oor koninkryke, moet ons besef dat daar is net twee. Daar is een van lig en een van donker. En as ons sê dat die koninkryk van God is een wat expand, is een wat vorentoe gaan. Dit beteken as een koninkryk grond vat, dan verloor hy aan een grond. Amen. So dis die oomblikke waar daar 'n clash plaasvind. Is wanneer een koninkryk vorentoe gaan. En jy moet vir die ou langs net sê, jy moet vashou, want ons gaan vinnig gaan. Sê vir my, moet vashou. Jan kyk net rond, hy het niemand, ja, hou maar net vas. Ja, gewoonlik wil ek intros en goedjies, maar ons gaan net gaan vanoggend. Die Here is al klaar hier in vierde raad. So die clash waarvan gepraat word, word ook genoem in Efesiërs 6 vers 12 en dis 'n bekende een, meeste van julle kan dit quote of gedeelte daarvan quote, is op die bord. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So die skrif praat van 'n wrestling match. There's a wrestling match that takes place, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities and powers, these demonic forces that we wrestle against. So, as jy gedink het, jy het 'n opsie om te stoei of nie, ons het nie daai opsie nie. It says, for we wrestle. We wrestle. En as ons wrestle, is dit vir ons baie belangrik om te verstaan, eerstens, wie wrestle ons teen? En tweedens, waar vind dit plaas? So, die eerste ene is, ons sien het, is nie teen vlees en bloed nie. It's against spiritual powers. En die tweede ene sê, in die einde sê, in the heavenly places. So, dis in die geestelike realm, dis nie in die natuurlike waar hierdie geveg plaas vind, maar hy vind plaas, en ons is in hom. So ek wil dalk moes ek daarvoor gebid het. So hierdie gaan julle challenge. Hierdie boodskap gaan julle challenge. Ek het gedink dit gaan en toe Merwe sy klip gewys as ek sê wow, hierdie breek vir my so al bietjie die grond oop. Is dalk meer challenging. Maar ek glo dis wat die Here sê en as ons wrestle, is dit vir ons belangrik om te weet hoe om te wrestle. En waar om te wrestle, anders te gaan ons nie wen nie. Amen. Die Here wil hê ons moet wen. He says he's going to teach our hands to make war. En dit het al vir lank gesê. Hy sê dit al vir lank en hy doen dit. Hy is besig om dit te doen. En ons moet hom toelaat. Ons moet teachable wees sodat hy ons kan leer hoe om dit te doen. So 'n groot gedeelte van hierdie geveg vind plaas in ons gedagte wêreld. Call it a battlefield of the mind. En die vyand werk baie hard om ons te beïnvloed in ons gedagtes. sonder dat ons het agterkom in die sosiale media, orals, waar ons kyk, waar ons gaan, is hy besig om sy agendas, baie van sy agendas oor te dra, en is besig om ons mindsets te beïnvloed. Die manier hoe ons dink, die manier hoe ons kyk na goed is, word beïnvloed deur dit, sonder dat ons dit altyd agterkom. Daar's verskeie maniere, maar een wat ek vinnig wil uitlig, is iets wat ons noem naturalism. Het iemand al gehoor wat, of weet iemand van naturalism, wat het is? So basies wat het beteken is dat alles wat ons hier sien, dis al wat bestaan. Dit sny heeltemal die geestelike uit, dit sny heeltemal die bonatuurlike uit. Dit sê alles wat hier is, dis al wat daar is. Nou, vir ons as Christene, weet ons dat die Here sê, if we worship him, if God is spirit, and if we worship him, we should worship in spirit and in truth. So die feit dat, wanneer ons met God praat, wanneer ons met hom connect, is daar a spiritual encounter, want God is spirit, God is spirit. So ons weet daar is 'n geestelike, maar wat baie keer gebeur is dat, sonder dat ons achterkom, word ons ingetrek in die natuurlike. Ons dink dat, nie bewustelik altyd nie, maar ten minste dat wat hier, wat ons sien, wat ons nou ervaar, is dit wat reg is, dis die werklikheid. Maar as 'n geestelike wêreld, ons weet dalk so half daarvan, maar ons is nie altyd gefokus, wat gaan daar aan nie, wat is die impak van die geestelike op die natuurlike. So sonder dat ons agterkom, is ons besig om te stoei en te stry en te veg in die natuurlike, maar nie in die geestelike. En dis een van die maniere wat die vyand gebruik, vooral in die westerse wêreld. Ons sien dat ateïsme is iets wat seker groei, ek weet nie of die vinnigste is, maar is van die vinnigste. Wat net sê, dis wat het is. Hierdie wat ons sien, daar is nie geestelike goeders nie. Hierdie wat ons sien, dis wat daar is. As jy in Afrika kom, of hulle nou gered is of nie, hulle gaan denk jy is stupid. Want hulle is die heel tyd bewus van die geestelike. Hulle sien het om hulle. Hulle weet die impact daarvan. Die hele tyd. Soos ek gesê het, ek glo ons allemaal weer as 'n geestelike. Maar die verskil is, hoe baie is ons bewus van die impact van die geestelike op die natuurlike. Hoe baie engage ons in die geestelike om die natuurlike te beïnvloed. So ek wil 'n skrif vir julle lees wat reguit in naturalism inspreek. Dis Hebreërs 11 vers 3. Dit sal ook op die bord wees. See, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So, the universe was created by the word of God. Everything that we see was not made by things seen. It was made by the invisible. Daai skrif alleen sê vir ons, the foundation is the spirit. It's not what we see, it is the spirit. So words, they play a very important role in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness. Words play a very important role. We saw that in the beginning, God said means to utter out loud. He said, let there be light. And there was light. So even in creation, God spoke, his spoken word created, okay? En, so ek wil vinnig vir julle, hier gaan het julle dalk bietjie challenge, maar, is okay. So wie glo dat die geestelike impak kan hê op die natuurlike? Wel, nadat ek nou gesê het, sal jy dalk, obviously dit sê. So dalk nie 'n goeie vraag, ek het nou eens vir julle verduidelik. Maar ek wil 'n paar voorbeelde gee, net om het te versterk, net om weer op 'n anderste manier te begin kyk na situasies. Net om, kom ons kyk gou 'n bietjie deur die skrif. Ek gaan net 'n paar voorbeelde, daar is geweldig baie voorbeelde deur die Ou Testament, Nuwe Testament, ek gaan net 'n paar vat. En een van hulle is in Lukas 13, Luke 13, en ek dink ek het hom op, ek gaan hom sommer net lees hierso. Dis kort stukkies, verskillende skrifte, maar die punt wat ek wil oordra is daar's 'n geestelike wat 'n impak het op die natuurlike, okay? So kyk uit daarvoor. Now he was teaching as Jesus in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Maar hier sien ons, it was a spirit of infirmity, van die ander vertaling sê, it's a spirit of disability. And what that spirit did, it caused her to be bent over forward. She couldn't stand up straight. So there we saw that there was a spirit being having an effect on the natural body of a woman, bending it forward. Amen. We see that there. Mark 5. Don't when you send the blind, I gaan net vir lees want net vir tyd. So dis 'n ek gaan hom so paraphrase want dis 'n bekende stuk van die ou wat die besetene, demon possessed ou wat daar in die grafte gebly het, begrafplaas gebly het en hy het kaal daar rond gehardloop. Hy het homself gesny, hy het uitgeroep daagliks. Die mense van daai plek het gekom en hulle het hom probeer boei, probeer vaspind, maar hulle kon dit nie reg kry nie. Hy het die ketting soos oopgebreek. En hierdie ou het net een, hy het verskeie demone gehad en so die impak van daai demone is dat dit 'n bonatuurlike krag vir daai ou gegee het. Hy ketting kon breek, maar dit het hom ook mal gemaak want hy het kaal rond gehardloop en homself gesny. Jan David, ons praat hier uit jou, weet jy, ek wil jy lach hier, ek joke so maar net. Maar net die image van dit is iets wat nie normaal is nie. En Jesus kom maar aan, Jesus kom aan, en alhoewel klomp ouens om probeer bind het, om probeer boei het, het Jesus nie kom probeer om hom te bind of te boei nie, want hy het gesien hy is reeds geboei. En Jesus het gekom om hierdie ou vry te maak. En na dit, was hierdie ou, het sê, he was clothed in his right mind. Being in his right mind. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. So, maar die fokus hier is dat there was spirits working in this guy, causing him to be insane and causing him to have strength, a supernatural strength. So there's a spiritual world having an impact on the natural. So ek gaan die skrifte verder aanhaal, het sê, van die ander plek in die skrif praat van a deaf and a dumb spirit. So there's a effect wat a spirit had on hearing and on speaking. And we see the spirit of fear. Scripture talks about that and... So when we experience fear, that there's a manifestation of that spirit around us, that spirit influences our emotions, right? Because we get an emotion of fear and anxiety, but it is a spirit affecting our emotions. So we see a spirit of heaviness, something coming over us, something of the spiritual world causing a heaviness, a depression, on us. But we also see it the other way around. We saw when Peter was in jail and when the church prayed for people, the angel appeared and the angel of the Lord went in. But without unlocking the chains and the shackles, it just fell off. And as they walked out, the door just went open before them. So we see the impact of the Spirit on the natural, okay? So there's a lot of examples in regard to this, but now I'm moving to what I want to say actually. So the Word of God is something that has tremendous authority and tremendous power, and it has an effect on the spirit, but it also has an effect in the natural. God's God says, Jesus says in a certain place, he says that my words are spirit. My words are spirit, but they are life. And it's a powerful thing. So the word of God is also known as the sword of the spirit. Huh? It's the sword of the spirit. So where should we use the word of God, of the sword of the spirit? In the spiritual realm. And when we use it there, it has an impact in the spirit, but it also has an impact on the natural. Because we saw how the spirit affects the natural. As it nog nie vir jou sin maak nie, is ok, het moet nog nie. Ons kom daarby. Hou net by. So God's word, we see in the beginning, has a creative power. It created the universe. You see that in Hebrews 11:3, where it said, the universe was created by God's word. But it also has a power to sustain. Because Hebrews 1:3 says that the universe is upheld by the power of his spoken word. So the universe isn't upheld by spiritual laws ultimately. That God's word went out and it still is effective. It still holds things into place. That is the power of his words. It holds, it keeps everything running. It keeps everything together. And like I've mentioned, when God said, let there be light, it is his word that went out and light is still with us. The sun comes up because God's word went out. Just let us think about the power of his word to create but to sustain. And then Jesus, I want to highlight just some other angles as well. And we spoke about these spirits just now having an effect on the natural. But it was Jesus coming to the spirits and he said, not in Jesus' name, he is Jesus. He just says, I command you to go. He says to them, I command you to go. He utters out loud, and then there's a response in the spirit. They leave. But then there's also a response in the natural, because the effect of that spirit is gone. The person starts to hear. The person is not bent over anymore, but is straight. But the effect is the sword of the spirit, is God speaking, Jesus speaking into those situations. Remember Lazarus? Was almal ken die story van Lazarus? What did he do? Okay, he waited and he was dead and he waited a few days and he came to Lazarus. Wat het hy gedoen? He called him. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And in that moment, the words of spirit and life overcame the power of death in that moment. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. That is the power of God's word. We know also the effect that his words had on the storm. We love that. We love that scripture. And where there's storms raging, we just declare that, Lord, you are the one that silences the storms in our lives. But what did he do? He spoke to the storm. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said, still. Still. But like a sword that needs to be picked up to be used. We can have a sword, but if you do not pick it up, it's useless. In a very similar way, the Bible is like that. As dit op jou bedkassie lê, het dit nie regtig 'n effek nie. The effect daarvan kom when we start speaking God's word. That's why God says, let the word of Christ dwell inside of you richly. That his word is inside of you. And if situations come, you start speaking his words out, okay? So this is something that the Lord wants us to start to walk in. Is knowing his promises and his will, firstly, but secondly, start to declare them, start to speak them out loud. So that is what I don't know if some of you have heard about proclaim God's word. It means to make known. You make something known. And if you declare, if you proclaim God's word, you make it known to the powers and the principalities. You make known what is God's will. What is God's word in this situation? And then that situation comes into alignment with God's word, because the word of God has power and it is the ultimate authority. Amen? So, even if we see situations that does not yet manifest God's promises or God's will, that is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. So as Christians, we should be a people so filled with the promises of God, and where we do not see it yet, we should call those promises in. Because the scripture says that God calls things that does not yet exist as if they do. So we should start calling things that does not yet exist as if they do, according to God's word, because that is what faith is. So om het praktisch te maak, het kan situaties wees, if there's not the salvation that has happened yet, that is God's will, that is His desire, but it needs to be called into being. Marriages that is broken, families that is broken, that is not His heart, that is His will, is for reconciliation. It's for families and marriages to be strong. If we start releasing God's word into those situations, we will start seeing it. Because the word of God is like a double-edged sword, amen? But it is powerful, it is alive, and it is active. It is not dead. It is not inactive. It is alive. And it is active, and it is sharper than that sword, that double-edged sword. And it brings division between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But you know, there's not an area that God's word cannot penetrate. There is not a situation that God's word cannot enter into. If it is physical in your body, there is not a cell His word cannot reach. It is sharper than the knife of a surgeon. It goes much deeper. It goes into situations. It goes into marriages. It goes into towns, into cities, into nations. It goes and it does something. It's alive and it is active. It starts working out. Many times we do not see immediate results, because it's a scripture that says God's word is like a hammer and it breaks the rock into pieces. Many times you have to use that hammer multiple times. Eventually the rock will break, but it needs to be applied many times and the rock starts to crack open. Jeremiah 1, God says something that we've mentioned the last few weeks again, is that God has put His words inside of our mouth. And then He goes on to say, I am ready to perform my word, or I am watching over my word to perform it. So God sets His words, follow me, inside of our mouths. Then He says He's ready to perform His word. So what's in between those two points? Is speaking God's word. That is our job. His job is to perform the word. His job is He sets that word inside of our mouths, but He performs the word. But we need to speak the word. And this is what Reinhard Bonke said. Get it all a paar keer genoemd, and I will in the future probably do again, because it's a beautiful, vivid picture of what happens. And in the beginning, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over chaos, over darkness. He was hovering and he was waiting. And the scripture does not say how long he was waiting. Oh, how long he was hovering. But he was waiting for something. And then Reinhard Bonnke asked the question, what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the word to go out. For when God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit came. He took the word and he worked with the word. See, the Holy Spirit is a creative spirit, but he's waiting for the word of God to go forth. He will hover. He will hover over lives. He will hover over marriages. He will hover over families. He will hover over this nation in the chaos, in the state that it is currently in. He will hover and he will wait for the word to go out. And, you know, we as the church, myself included, we have been silent for too long. And I feel God is saying it's time to start speaking my word. The time has come for the church not to be silent anymore. Well, Jesus said, speak to the mountains. Not think about it in your head. He said, speak to the mountains. And there's a reason I believe that the enemy has silenced the church. There's one important thing I want to highlight, and that's Isaiah 55. Because he knows that. He knows the word. In many instances, he knows the word better than us. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. Powerful scripture. That God's word, when it is sent out, it never returns void. It always accomplishes the thing which it is sent out for. How's that for guarantee? Huh? But when we do not send his word out, nothing comes back. He's waiting for us people to start declaring his word and his promises and his will over not only our lives, our families, but over this nation, over this valley, over Wellington, our town. I'm going to take us to a scripture in Mark 4, 35, 41. I've put it on the board, and I've mentioned it. I've mentioned the storm, but and something caught my eye, and I just want to read it to you. It said on verse 35, from verse 35, it said, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So begin this Kerebaie van ons ken het. So for reference, this baie van die disciples was, hulle was actually vissermanne gewees. Hulle was die see van Galilea gewees en hulle moes al baie storms in hulle lewe soos ervaar het al op daai see. So hierdie een moes redelik intens gewees het dat hulle so bang was, dat hulle gedink het, hulle gaan doodgaan. So dis nie net 'n average storm nie, hierdie moes 'n intens storm gewees het. Maar, ek het iets hier raak gelees daar in vers 36, die tweede helfte, het sê, and other boats were with him. Other boats, daar was ander bote ook gewees.
Ek het dit nog nooit raak gelees nie.
So, then we see Jesus word wakker gemaak, and he spoke to the storm, and there came this great peace.
Maar toe die storm geheers het, was die ander bote ook daar gewees. Hulle het ook die storm ervaar. Amen. Hulle was ook in gevaar gewees om gesink te word. En toe Jesus die storm stil maak, toe het hulle ook die afwesigheid van die storm ervaar. Amen. Toe daar ook 'n vrede vir hulle gekom. En baie keer maak ons hierdie ding persoonlik. Ons maak dit vir onsself hierdie skrif. Dit is vir onsself. Maar dit is meer net as onsself.
So when we start to speak to the wind and the waves of not only our lives, but what is affecting us. If it is the politics, if it is the school system, if it is marriages, if it is families, what it is, if the word of God starts bearing fruit and the kingdom of God comes where there's joy, peace and righteousness, the silence and the change that happens is not only for us, it is for the community as well. So I want to leave this with you, that the community is suffering many times because the church is silent.
So the final thing I want to mention is that there's a scripture in James. It speaks about the rudder of the ship. That our tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Now the rudder of the ship is daai dingetjie wat daar agter is en hy bepaal die rigting waarin die skip beweeg. Klein dingetjie, soos die tong, maar hy bepaal die rigting waarin die skip beweeg. So, wat dit sê dan is dat ons woorde bepaal die rigting van ons lewe. Dis intens. Daai is 'n groot en 'n belangrike ding. So it's very important for us to know the will of God for our lives. To know the promises of God for our lives. But not only know them, speaking them. Because it's in speaking them that our lives will start to turn into the direction of God's word and God's plan for us. But now the thing is, I believe strongly that our mouth can become the rudder of the ship for other people's lives as well. Or change the rudder of the ship for other people's lives. I believe in the power of the prophetic word. When we come to somebody, we see their life is heading in a wrong direction. It's not the plan of God in the way things are going. And we come and we just say, I also want to share with you what I feel God is saying. If it is a scripture or whatever it may be. But this is, I feel, this is what happening now, but this is not the plan of God. And as they hear that prophetic word and they say, yes, I choose to align myself with what you are saying, the course of their life is altered to move into that direction and the promises of God. But not only that, I believe that the church's voice is the prophetic voice and is the rudder of the ship of the nation and of the valley and of Wellington. That what happens, this is a crucial point, because it says that the tongue has the power of life and death. So this, the rudder of the ship, is very true of the good plans, but it's also very true of the bad plans. So the enemy knows, Satan knows, if he wants us to walk according to his ways and his purposes and his plans, we just have to agree with him. Then we bring our lives into alignment with his plans. And then if we start speaking over Wellington and over our nation, and we start to agree with what's happening now, and say, yes, now our nation is doomed. Nee wat, ons maar moet immigreer jong, hierdie land van ons val uit mekaar uit. We start aligning our words with the plans of the enemy. This word should convict you and me, because I've done it as well. But there's a change happening where we take the word of God and we combine it with faith, which becomes the evidence of things not seen yet. We don't see the nation walking in the promises of God. We do not see the promises of God manifesting in Wellington yet. The plans and the purposes that God has for Wellington happening yet. But we should be a people that starts walking in these streets. Soos wat ons spaar toe gaan, soos wat ons checkers toe gaan, soos wat ons dinge doen in die dorp. And say, Lord, we thank you for Wellington, God. We thank you for the promises that you have for this place. Lord, we thank you that these streets will become streets of gold, God. We thank you that this place will be a place of holiness, Lord. We thank you that there will be an open heaven above Wellington, Lord. We thank you for all the purposes and the plans that you have for Wellington. And those are the ones that will prosper. We start releasing the word of God. We start aligning our words with what he says. And that starts to alter the ship. It moves the ship into the direction he wants it to go. All right, so will you stand with me? Ek het tyd dat ons 'n bietjie ingaan. I want us if you feel like it, don't do it if just because I ask you. But if something convicted you about the way that you are speaking, about your life, about other people's lives, the destiny of your life, other people's lives, and of this nation, if you've spoken negatively, I want us to repent. Repentance is crucial. It's a turning around and heading in another direction, but it's also a change of mind. We need to change our mind about this thing. It's a powerful thing. God will break it open to us even more. And then secondly, I'll ask you that Jeremiah was the guy that God said, I've put your words, my words in your mouth, and I'm ready to perform it. Chapter 20, Jeremiah speaks and he says, your words is like fire in my heart. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I am weary from keeping it in. And if that is a desire of your heart, that God's word will become a fire inside of you, that you will not be able to contain it anymore. But where you come, you just start releasing God's word. Just start praying over people, praying over schools, praying over the nation and say, this is what God says. And when God says something, it shall come to pass. If that is a desire of your heart, I'm going to pray for you, all right? But firstly, we repent. So, okay, I want you to, just for a moment, just repent in your own words, okay? I don't want to repent. Ek kan nie namens jou repent op die oomblikie. I will repent, ek sal namens die kerk repent. But I want you just for a moment, if you've been convicted in the way that you've talked about oor yourself, oor ander mense, oor die dorp, just repent in this moment. Father, I thank you for the heaviness of this moment, Lord, and I thank you that there is a course altar that happens right now. Also verandering in de richting. In Jesus' name we feel it. And we say thank you for you, Lord. With this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. As jy honger is vir wat ek vroeger gesê het, raise your hands. So Lord, we repent in Jesus' name as the body of Christ, Lord, as your church, God, where we've been speaking death, God, over our own lives, over families, over this valley, God, over this nation, in situations, God, speaking death, God, parting, God, with the enemy and his plans and his will, Lord. Father, will you forgive us, Lord? Will you forgive us, Lord? And will you give us grace, Lord, to turn it around, Lord, in Jesus' name? Lord, will you put your words in our mouth, your words that are spirit and that is life, Lord? Your word says that we should open up our mouths wide and you will come and you will fill it, Lord. Come and fill our mouths. Come and fill our lives with your words, Lord. And then I pray over us as a church right now, Holy Spirit, God, that you'll come and that you'll put your words in our hearts, Lord, and it will become like a fire, God. It will become like a fire in our hearts and in our bones, and we will be try to keep it in, God. We will be weary from keeping it in, but we will not be able to keep it in any longer in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break the silence of the church in the name of Jesus. Father, we will become a voice in this world in the name of Jesus. And we will speak your words, God. We will declare the promises and the purposes of God, Lord. And then we will start to see your word bear fruit, Lord. Because it never returns void. It always accomplishes in the thing which it is sent out for, Lord. Thank you for a change, for a turnaround, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, that you will empower us, Lord, that you will convict us, Lord, in moments. We need you, Lord. We need you from this moment onwards, God. We need you in this area, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for excitement, God, as you will come, Lord, and you will start give visions, God. You'll start give dreams, God. You'll start give words, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we will just release it and release it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for excitement right now to drop into the hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we will be a people that walks into the areas, God, and where we see the fatherlessness, Lord, we will say, Lord, your word says that the hearts of the father will turn to the children and the children's hearts will turn to their father. We just release that word into this area in the name of Jesus. Lord, when we see violence and happening, you say in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your peace that will reign in this place in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the authority and the supremacy of your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the whole universe is upheld by the power of your spoken word. Father, I pray for faith, God, to rise in your word, that we will have faith in the power of the word of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to bless each and everyone that is here, Lord, that they will become a voice in the wilderness in the name of Jesus. They will prepare the way of the Lord. Father, I pray for today that it will be an incredible day. Father, I pray that where we celebrate the mothers, Lord, I just pray, Father, for your blessing, Lord, to go out before us today, Father. Where we're going to meet, where we're going to celebrate, Lord, we pray for your presence just to hover in our midst, Lord. We pray for this week, Lord, that we will be truly the city on a hill, a light in the darkness, in the name of Jesus. I bless each and everyone right now, Lord, that you will touch them, Lord, that you'll empower them, that you'll encourage them, and that you'll make them brave, that you'll make us fearless, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you, Allah.